Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. Dr. Stella, thank you for such kind introduction. And I'd like to express my sincere gratitude to the president of Andrews University, to the board of trustees and the administration, to the faculty, to the staff, and to all who have invested in the life of these graduates today. You know, today is more than a celebration, it is an achievement. It is a moment of calling. The mission of Andrews University is expressed in these words: to seek knowledge and affirm faith in order to change the world. Now, it's more than just a slogan. It's a process. And today you stand as evidence of that process. During your time here, you have sought knowledge, you have studied, you have done research, written papers, tested, and perhaps fail a quiz here and there. But you tried again, and you've grown in your field. And today, that pursuit is recognized. But that was only part of your formation. You have also been given opportunities to affirm your faith through worship, through vespers, through classrooms where faith and learning intersected, through mission service, those of you who serve as student missionaries or short-term mission projects, through community service. And this institution has intentionally created space for you not only to grow intellectually, but also to grow spiritually. And now we arrive at the third part of the mission, to change the world. But what does that really mean? What did the pioneers of this institution have in mind when Andrews began his educational journey in 1874 at Battle Creek College? Was the goal simply to produce successful people, people who would innovate, lead, and influence? Or was it something deeper? Throughout history, there have been individuals who have changed the world in extraordinary ways through science, technology, and innovations. And the work has shaped how we lived and how we connect. For example, Albert Einstein reshaped humanity's understanding in the world of physics and the physical universe. Nikola Tesla worked and helped power the modern world. Steve Jobs, in recent history, helped transform how we communicate, how we work, and how we live. But here's the tension we must wrestle with this morning. Changing the world is not the same as pointing the world to God. It is possible to influence how people live and never influence where they will spend eternity. Just a few weeks ago, I had the privilege to speak to more than 4,000 people at a remote region in Guatemala. It was a mission trip where my daughter and I spent time serving. While traveling through a rural area, my daughter and I stopped at a very simple roadside place to eat. After serving us, the woman who attended us sat down. She reached into her apron, pulled out a phone. Now, when she pulled out her phone, it was not just any phone. I got an old iPhone. She actually had the latest iPhone of 2026. And my daughter looked at me and said, "Dad, Apple is more than a phone. It's more than a brand. It is a life-changing platform." And she was right. There is a clear before and after Steve Jobs. Technology has reshaped the world, even in remote places as the one we were in. But hear this carefully. Changing the world is not enough in the context of eternal life. Even if humanity were to discover cures for diseases that have affected millions, that work would still be limited to this physical world if those who are healed physically missed the gift of life. Then that work is still incomplete in the context of the spiritual journey. So the question becomes, what do we really mean when we say world changers? Let me tell you a story. 1791, a baby boy was born in Massachusetts. into a deeply Christian home. His father, Jedediah, was a Congregationalist minister, and his mother, Elizabeth, helped raise him in an environment where faith was fundamental. It was something that was extremely important in the upbringing of this young boy named Sammy. Now, that boy grew up learning that life was not merely about personal advancement. It was about honoring God. He was educated at Yale College, where he encountered early lectures and ideas related to electricity. But electricity was not his first calling. It was art. He became a painter, a very gifted one. He traveled, studied, painted portraits, and became known for his artistic work. Now, in 1825, he was away from home working in Washington, D.C., and he received a heartbreaking news. His wife was seriously ill. But in those days, messages traveled very slow. By the time he returned home, his wife was dead. Not only had she died, but she had already been buried. That tragedy marked him deeply. It exposed the painful reality that information could not travel fast enough. A message delayed had become a goodbye missed. Years later, in 1832, while returning by a ship from Europe to the United States, Sammy heard discussions about electromagnetism. And a question began to form in his mind. If electricity can travel through wire, could information travel with it as well? That question helped him change the world. After years of efforts, in 1843, the United States Congress approved funding for a very particular experiment. Then, on May 24, 1844, Sammy sent the first official message from the United States Capitol to Alfred Vail in Baltimore. You guys want to hear what it sounded like? I've asked Richard, a special friend. That was it. Unless you are a ham radio operator, you probably can't decipher what that says. Unless you're a history buff, you know exactly what it says. You know, he could have said anything, really. He could have announced his own name. He could have claimed his achievement. But the words sent over that wire was the following: "What hath God wrought?" In simple English, what God has done. These are words that were extracted directly from Numbers chapter 23, verse 23. At that very moment, he helped change the world. Samuel Morse pointed the glory back to God. And that is the difference. Before the telegraph, communication traveled at the speed of horses, ships, and trains. After the telegraph, information could travel at the speed of electricity. For the first time in history, communication was separated from the physical transportation. What began with electrical signals, dots and dashes, opened the door to new ways of transmitting information. Each generation built upon the previous one. The telegraph, the telephone, radio, computers, digital systems, and now smartphones, binary codes. And now we carry in our hands devices that combine many of those systems. But when Samuel Morse sent that first message, he was not simply sending words. He was declaring a theology. What hath God wrought? In other words, this is not ultimately about me, said Sammy. This is not ultimately my glory. This is what God has done. And that raises a question for all of us this morning. Not just will you change the world, but when you do, who will receive the glory? So that what does it mean to change the world? What does it mean to be a world changer? It means becoming an instrument in the hands of God. It means using your education, your profession, your influence, your skills, your platform, your calling to point people to Jesus Christ, whom we profess to follow. Because changing the world is not enough unless what we do points people back to God. So how do we become that kind of world changers? The answer is simple, perhaps not very easy at times. We must know Christ so that we can make him known. Jesus said in John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Notice that Jesus did not say eternal life is knowing about God. He said eternal life is knowing him. There is a difference. It is possible to study religion and theology and not know God. It is possible to attend church and not know Christ. It is possible to graduate from a Christian institution and still not know him. And dare I say that it is possible to call ourselves Christians and still not know who Jesus Christ is. During your time here at Andrews University, you have not only received knowledge in your field, you have been given something far more valuable. You have been given opportunities to know God. And this was not accidental. It was intentional. Because Andrews University understands something essential. You cannot change the world for God if you do not walk with God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 9:23-24, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glorifies glory in this, that he understands and knows me." So how do we come to know him? First, we spend time in the Word of God. We open Scripture, not merely to gather information, not only to check the devotional box, but to behold Christ, to behold the author of our faith. Because the more we see him in Scripture, the more we understand his character, his love, his mercy, and his grace. And you cannot truly share something you do not deeply know. Second, we spend time in prayer. Prayer is not just asking, like the genie in the bottle. Praying is abiding, is a communion, is learning to trust him, deepen your relationship with him, and walking with him daily. And third, just make him known. So how do we do this again? We spend time in his word, we spend time in prayer, and then we make him known. 1 Peter 2:9, we read the following. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the wonders of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." When you point people to Jesus through your life, through your work, you begin to change the world. That is your mission, to proclaim, to testify, to share what God has done in your life. And here is how it connects to your life. When you point people to Jesus within the context of your field, when you share the reality of God's love, his mercy, his grace, not as a theory, but as something real in your own life, something powerful happens. You begin to change the world, not all at once, but you start changing one person at a time. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." That is the essence of the word changer. Not someone who simply has information. Someone who has experienced transformation is what is needed. When you know Christ, you begin to reflect his character, his love, his mercy, his grace. And people will notice. People will see something different. They will ask you questions, not because you are trying to impress them, but because your life is pointing back to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, we read it earlier, "Your light So shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So God is calling you to shine. Shine before men and women. Shine before this world. And they will see the good works and they will glorify the Father. And that is it. You live, you serve, you excel, and through it all, God is revealed. But there's one more question. Do I have what it takes? Perhaps you've wrestled with that question. Perhaps you've said, I understand the mission, but I don't feel like I have enough. I don't feel like I have enough influence. I don't feel like I have enough talent. I don't feel like I have enough opportunities. I don't feel like I have enough power. But let me tell you a story. Several years ago, I came across a powerful account written by a journalist by the name of Leon Geroff in the New York Times magazine about a spacecraft called Pioneer 10, and later referenced by a Christian author named Beecher Hunter. In 1972, NASA launched a probe called Pioneer 10. Now, the plan was to explore Jupiter, to take pictures of its moons and send back data of Jupiter and its magnetic field back to Earth. Scientists consider this a mission, a bold mission because no spacecraft had gone beyond Mars. And there was a great concern about whether or not this small satellite was going to survive. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and kept going. In November 1973, it passed to Jupiter, and Jupiter's gravity then propelled it further toward the edge of the solar system. And by 1996, more than two decades after Pioneer 10 was still sending signal back to Earth. But here's the remarkable part of the story. According to Leon Geroff, those signals came from an 8-watt transmitter. Now, I have in my pocket here a small light bulb. And believe it or not, there's more wattage out of this light bulb than that of Pioneer 10. Nevertheless, billion miles away from the sun, over two decades later, Pioneer 10 was still sending information back to Earth from an 8-watt transmitter. Small signal, traveling billions of miles. That is powerful. It was not about how much power it appeared to have. It was about what it has been designed to do. And graduates, hear me clearly. God has given you exactly the right wattage that you need. You may not have someone else's platform. You may not have someone else's gift and talents. You may not have someone else's influence, but you were not created by accident. Psalm 139:16 says the following, all the days of my life were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knew you before this day. God formed you for this moment, and God equipped you for this assignment. Sister Ellen G. White expressed this beautifully in Education, page 267. The specific place appointed us in life is determined by our capabilities. In simple terms, she teaches us this principle. God places each person in life according to their abilities. He does not expect everyone to reach the same level of accomplishment, the same things, but He does expect each of us to grow and reach our highest potential through His power as He works through you. That is the context. She was not saying that God limits your usefulness. She was saying that God does not ask you to become someone else. I see Elder Mark Finley here this morning. And I could tell you, my wife can testify to this during that net series, Elder Finley. I actually would put the VHS tape and I would memorize your sermons. I would stand before the mirror, and I would try to even move as you moved. And my wife, kindly, gentle, she said, baby, there's only one Mark Finley. You will never become Mark Finley. And you should not try to be Mark Finley. Be yourself. It was a lesson that I had to learn as a young preacher. Although I memorized the sermons, watched every single VHS tape, it became clear that we all reach different people because God has equipped you and I with the right wattage. I may only have 2 watts. Elder Finley has 100 watts. He has filled stadiums, and I speak in shacks. Nevertheless, every single life matters, and we change the world one person at a time. So do not underestimate your wattage. Use what God has placed in your hands, your education, your profession, your testimony, your influence, your voice. Use your life. And as you go from this place, do not merely seek knowledge, do not merely affirm your faith, but go and change the world. But change it in such a way that when people see your life, your service, your excellence, your compassion, and your witness, they will not simply say, look at what he and she has done. But they may be able to say, look what God has wrought through you. May that be the testimony of your life. May that be the message of your work. May that be the witness of this graduating class. And may everything God does through you points back to the only one who is worthy to be praised, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we have a very special graduating class here this morning. It took a lot of efforts, support from family, friends. It took combined efforts from this institution, staff, professors, everyone working together. But all of that, without you, it would be incomplete. So we give you the honor and the glory this morning, and we thank you for their accomplishment. And Father, as they now have been prepared, they have received knowledge and understanding in their field, they have been presented with opportunities to get to know you, may they continue to grow in knowledge and understanding in you. May they see your mighty hand work in their lives. And Father, as they leave this place later today, may they know that you are walking with them. So Father, would you bless them indeed? Would you please expand their territory? May your hand be with them. May you deliver them from evil and deliver them from pain as they change the world for you, is my prayer. In Jesus' holy name, amen.